All right, morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf chaf ches. We're back on chaf zayin. Actually, let's even be more honest with one another. We're back on chaf avam and beis, and let's get underway. The big sugya we're going to be tackling today is the sugya of zev zegarim and zev zegarim, which we're about to start in just a moment. We will hopefully get through the entire sugya today, Billy Neder, and then we will hopefully move on to today's daf. Today's daf is daf chaf ches. So if we can get somewhere into today's daf, that would be amazing. And then hopefully by tomorrow we'll be caught up. Chaf Ches is not a terribly long daf, and Chaf Tes is not terribly long. So maybe, maybe with God's help, we'll be up to where we need to be to. Let's get right into it. The Gemara now is going to take us off on a little bit of tangent. Again, the topic of discussion has been and continues to be throughout the second parak. From the beginning of the second parak, this topic of Isuri Hana'ah. The Torah prohibits benefit from chametz on Pesach. And so now what we've been discussing for almost a full week, from Chaf Aleph to now what we're about to do is Chaf Zayin, almost a full week we talked about some of the parameters of Isuri Hana'ah, and we're going to be discussing more of it. Now we're going to leave the world of chametz, and we're going to enter into just a very basic discussion about what exactly it means that we're not allowed to get benefit from an item. And specifically, we're going to speak about what happens if I take something which is asa bahana and I burn it. Wood, for example. Wood can come as isuri hanam in many different forms. But let's say I have wood which is asa bahana and I burn the wood. And through that burning of the wood, I bake bread. Or through that burning of the wood, I make an oven. So now, does the bread become usher? Does the oven become usher? So these are the topics that we're going to be covering today. Now you're going to hear me singing the words again and again today, Zev Zegarim. I'll explain a little bit better as we get onto the scenario of what exactly that means. Tanur, we're in the middle of Chavav Amid Beis. We're starting at the two dots. Tanur Rabbanan, we're starting with a Braisa. Tanur Sheisiku, B'Klipe Arla B'Kashen Shel Klai Akerem. So let's say I have an oven, and the oven was heated up using Klipe Arla, the shells of Arla. Arla, as we know, is any fruit that comes off a tree for the first 3 years. The fruit of such a tree is Aser. Not only is the fruit of that tree Aser, but, no, that's it, actually. Only the fruit of that tree is Aser. But anything that the fruit is wrapped in, the shells of the fruit also are going to be Aser as well. Rashi points out over here that any shomer, any peel of a fruit has a status of the fruit itself, and so therefore the klipe arla, the shells of the arla have the status of arla. Arla, as we know, we've spoken about already time and again, is aser behana. O bekashen shel klai kerem, or you stalks of klai kerem. Now Rashi himself is over here that when it comes to klai kerem, there's no din pri by klai kerem, meaning once I plant a vineyard and other seeds in the same garden, and once I produce klai kerem, it's aser b'achila, it's aser b'ana, and that's not just limited to the fruit, that's true by the entire plant itself. So, very basic difference between arla and klai kerem. Arla applies only to the fruit, klai kerem applies to the entire plant. Either way, the point is that I use something which is aser b'ana, and I used it to make an oven. Now, what does that mean, make an oven? In the good old days, ovens were earthenware. And in the good old days, whenever you wanted to make anything with earthenware, right? You went to camp, you did this with your clay making. So you molded something, and then what do? You had to put it in the oven. And you heated it up. And that heating up, the first time you heated it up, that actually makes it into now a kli. So basically what I'm doing now is I'm making an oven. And what I'm doing now as the fuel to make the oven for the first time is I'm using something which is aser b'ana. So, chadash yutatz. If this is a new oven, meaning that the heating and fueling of this oven is actually making this an oven. So now, there was a transfer from the fuel to the oven. And so therefore, just because the fuel itself is aser b'ana, so to the oven is aser b'ana. And they have no choice. What do you have to do with the oven? Break the oven. Yutatz. Just break it into pieces. Remember, it's earthenware. There's no kashering. There's no hagalah. There's no libun. Break it. If it is yashan. If the oven is old, what does that mean, old? Just simply means the oven's made already. So the oven is already in working order. All I did is I took fuel, klipe arla, or kashin shel klai kerem, and I used it as fuel, so therefore, if I heat it up in the oven, so the solution is really simple. Let it cool down, remove the ashes, put in new fuel, and you're good to go. meaning the oven does not become usr because I burned isuri ana in the oven, just simply let it cool down.
What's the difference, Rabbi?
The difference is give me a moment. I'll come back to it. Afabosapas. Now, what if concurrently, while fueling the oven with the isuri hana'a, I bake bread inside the oven? In other words, I bake bread in the oven while isuri hana'a was burning underneath it. So Rebbe Omer Apasa Surva Chachamim Omer Mapas Materes. So Rebbe says the bread is usr. The Chachamim say the bread is mutter. Now, Rebbe's position, I think we can all understand. It's very simple. Rebbe says that basically what happens is that the isuri hana'a that's in the fuel creeps up and goes into the bread. Meaning, how are you making the bread? I'm making the bread because I'm fueling it with isuri hana'a underneath. So basically, if you can envision, the isuri hana'a transfers from the fuel into the bread. That's Rabbi's position. What about the Chachamim? How are you going to understand the Chachamim? We'll come back to that in just a moment. Bishla agabe gachalim. Now, if I cooked it directly over the coals. So in other words, coals mean, right, gachalim means, is that I burnt the wood already. And what I'm left with are just simply hot embers of what once was wood, but now they're just simply the coals. Devei hakol mutter, according to everybody, it's going to be mutter. Okay, ad kan divrei habraisa, that is the braisa. Okay, we're going to be discussing this braisa for the entirety of the daf, meaning from here going forward, from chavav amad beis all the way to chav zayin amad beis, the two dots, we will be discussing just this braisa. Okay, so let's go with Danny's question. Danny's asking really the question, and that's the following. What's in the first case of the braisa, what's the difference? It's a new oven, I fuel it with the isuri hana'a, so I got to break the oven. If it's an old oven, it's fine. It's okay. So what's the difference? So presumably the difference is as follows. Is that once I make, and it'll be clear from the Gemara that what I'm saying is correct. Once I make the oven with isuri hana'a, so now essentially the isur transferred. Meaning what happened now is that I took isuri hana'a, I used it to make an oven. So now this oven was created through isuri hana'a, so the oven is usur b'hana'a. Now to benefit from the oven. If the oven was made already, so now by burning isuri hana'a in the oven, so what do you want to say? That the isur transfers? Well, the oven's made already. What do you want to say? The taste transfers? There's no taste. Meaning this, we're not talking about food over here. We're talking about wood. So there's no transfer of taste. All there is just simply, I burnt isuri hana'a in an oven when the oven's mutter. The fuel is usur. So if I'm making the oven with isuri hana'a, so then the oven was created through isuri hana'a. So just like the isuri hana'a is asr, so to the oven's going to be asr. Once the oven's already made, and all I'm doing is just fueling fire that's asr hana'a in the oven, so that's fine. Okay, that takes us through the first point on the braisa. Vikasha. Now you got. I'm sorry. Vikasha in the Gemara presents a problem. Right. The Hatanya, sorry. Okay, I just made up words in the Gemara. The Hatanya, we learned in another Braisa, Ben Chadash, Ben Yashan, Yudsan. I have another Braisa, and the Braisa says in both cases, whether this is the first time that I'm lighting fuel in the oven, meaning I'm making the oven with isuri hana'a, or whether it's an old oven, either way, just let it cool down and it's fine. Yudsan, just let it go through tzina, through a cooling process, not a problem. Not a problem, big problem. We have a stira between the two braisas. The first braisa that we quoted says that if I'm making an oven with isuri hana'a, I got to break the oven. The second braisa says that if I'm making an oven with isuri hana'a, no, not a big deal. Let the oven cool down, and we'll fuel up the oven again with mutter, with heter, with fuel that's heter, and it's fine. So lokasha harebi harabanan. So the Gemara now is going to try to make a distinction between the position of the Chachamim and the position of Rebbe. Meaning, what the Gemara at this point is thinking is the following. Rebbe's, what did Rebbe teach us in the first Braisa? That if I bake bread in the oven, the bread's going to be usur. Why? Well, I think the reason why is because what's going to happen now is that the isur hana'a is going to creep into the bread. So the Gemara is assuming, well, just like the isur hana'a creeps into the bread, the isur hana'a creeps into the oven as well. Meaning at this point in time, we think this is the difference between Rebbe and the Chachamim. And if that, in fact, is so, if that's the difference, so then I can answer the difference between the first braisa and the second braisa. Gemara says, slow down. Look, Gemara says, I don't necessarily agree. When you're baking bread in the oven, and again, the oven's being fueled by Yisuri Hana, so you know what happens? According to Rabbi, Yeshvach Eitzim Bepas. The wood, I'll say it simply, the wood goes into the bread. Right? The value of the wood goes into the bread. I'm creating this bread based on the fact that, based on the fuel. Meaning bread's not going to get baked unless there's fuel. And what's happening now is that the shvach of the wood, the value of the wood, the essence of the wood, is going now into the bread. This is the idea of Yeshvach Eitzim Bepas. Rebbe subscribes to this idea. That's why Rebbe says when I'm burning fuel in the oven, the fuel is Aser Ba'ana, and I'm burning bread with that fuel, so then, whoops, it goes right into the Iser Hana goes right into the bread. But the Gemara says, but that's not, but Zev Zegor Mishamaslei. But I wouldn't necessarily say that by an oven. And now let's introduce ourselves to the concept of Zev Zegorim, as the Gemara now invokes the term Zev Zegorim. If all I'm doing is just making an oven with Yisuri Hana, that's not a big deal, as that's the scenario of Zev Zegorim. What do we mean by that? What does the Gemara mean by that? It means the following. See, in the case where I have, again, a brand new oven, not even brand new, I just formed it, and in order for it to solidify and become an oven, I need to heat it up. I need to put in the kiln. Or I'll just simply make a fire inside, internally. Either way, I need to heat it up. Okay. And what do? I throw in Yisuri Hana, and now I make it with Yisuri Hana. It sounds like a big problem. Meaning, just like the Gemara argued, that the Shvach Eitzim goes right into the bread, so if I'm making an oven with Yisuri Hana, doesn't the Yisuri Hana transfer into the oven? So we'll start off with a very affirmative, yeah, sure. But here's the catch. Okay, fine. So now let's say the oven is Aser Ba'ana. Fine. The next time I use this oven, so what am I going to do? So I have an oven now that was formed with Yisuri Hana, so the oven itself is Aser Ba'ana, but the oven alone, is that what's making the bread? No. In order for me to make bread in this oven, I need to take fuel, I need to put the fuel on the bottom of the oven, heat up the fuel, and now I'm going to make bread. So the next time I'm using this oven to make bread, basically there are two causatives to the bread. One is the actual oven itself, but again, the oven by itself is not going to do anything. It's the oven plus the fuel. Let's assume the next time I use it, I'm not going to use fuel that's Aser Ba'ana, I'm going to use fuel that's Mutter. So in other words, to bake bread the next time, I'm basically going to have oven, which is Aser, together with new fuel, which is Mutter. This is a classic scenario of Zev Zegorim. I am now using two things. Now again, the way to view this is not, well, the taste in the oven goes into the bread. This is not, and we have to make this clear, I can't understate. This is not an issue of taste. This is an issue of the oven is Aser Ba'ana because I made the oven with Yisuri Hana. So the oven's Aser Ba'ana, but the next time I bake bread, it's oven plus the fuel on the bottom, so that's Zev Zeh. So I have two things acting on the bread, making the bread, the oven and the fuel. And if one is Mutter and the other is Aser, so we have now a scenario of what's called Zev Zeh Gorim, two causatives, right? Two enzymes, if you will, that actually produces bread. Now, what's the halacha by Zev Zegarim? Major machlokas, which we're going to see over the course of today's daf. There's some who are of the opinion Zev Zegarim is mutter, and some are of the opinion Zev Zegarim is aser. I think instinctively, intuitively, if we could just think outside of the Gemara for just a moment, I think it's easier to argue, again, I'm proposing, Zev Zegarim is aser, because I have two causatives, okay, but one of the two is aser. So if it were just the oven itself, obviously the oven's Aser Ba'ana. I can't get benefit from the oven. So just because I'm adding fuel, which is Mutter, and now the argument is, well, the fuel is Mutter, so now the fuel plus the oven, okay, I know one is Aser, one is Mutter, they're both acting on the bread, making the bread, it's easier to argue, it should be Aser, meaning the oven, I can't get benefit from the oven. And that meanwhile, we're going to see that there is a school of thought, or in fact, you may even see there is a predominant school of thought that Zev Zegarim is mutter, right? And it's hard, I think, it's harder to argue why that should be so. Zevet Zegarim is mutter, meaning I have one item acting on acting which is aser, another item acting on it which is mutter, and I look at the heter more than I do at the iser. Okay. Yeah. So right, that's really one of the key issues over here. Meaning the bittul, you see, and this is where the conversation becomes a little more nuanced, because bittul usually means I have actual iser and I have actual heter, and now I look at the ratio and I look at the proportions. Here, there's nothing actual, meaning all I'm going to walk out with from this is a bread. There's no oven in the bread. There's no...
You could say that the fuel is the one that's really heating up. The oven is just supplying...
Okay, so right. So you want to give more weight to the fuel than to the oven. Okay, fine. So I understand that the Gemara, the way the Gemara is going to refer to this from this point going forward is Zev is Zev. As if they're... But you're right, though. In other words, I could... we could try to give more percentages to one cause more than another. But the way the Gemara is going to frame this whole conversation is Zev is Zev. It's this and this. It's 50-50. But it's not, you see, that's why, because Zev is Zev becomes such an interesting discussion, because it's not a real bittul issue. Bittul is when I got real Isser and real Heter and they mix together, and now I get to look at the numbers. Here there are two causatives causing something to materialize. So it's not the same.
There's only a concept of
Yisra Hanah. We're going to discuss it even in other contexts as well, even by Yisra Yechilo, which the Gemara is going to give illustrations, examples. Good. So now that we're here, so now we understand. So so we were suggesting that maybe the difference between Brisa 1 and Brisa 2 is Rebbe. The Gemara says no. It's not the difference. Because Brisa number 1 is subscribing to this idea of Zev Zegorim is Usser. Because again, in Brisa number 1, what happened? I made the oven using Yisurei Hanah, and the Brisa says, I got to break the oven. And I may never use the oven again. Even though one could say, okay, but what's the big deal? Next time I use the oven, I'll use Heter fuel, and it will be the oven plus the fuel, the oven being Usser. The fuel being mutter, it's Zev Zegorim. What's the problem? Obviously, the first brisa is of the position, Zev Zegorim is Aser. And so now what we're going to be doing now for the next 20 lines of Gemara is trying to locate the Tana who's arguing Zev Zegorim is Aser. Once we locate him, we'll just simply plug him into that first brisa. So the Gemara starts off the following. So... Ella lokasha ha Rabbi Eliezer ha Rabbanan. Okay, so the Chachamim say Zev Zegarim is mutter. Obviously, the Chachamim are not going to be Brisa number 1, and Rabbi Eliezer says Zev Zegarim is aser, and that obviously will be Brisa number 1. The Gemara asks the obvious question: Hi, Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, where is he? Show me where Rabbi Eliezer says Zev Zegarim is aser. Elam Rabbi Eliezer de Seor. So the Gemara proposes, maybe it's the following, Mishnah in Arla. Seor shel chulam v'shel truma shenafel l'toch isa. I have Seor. Remember Seor is sourdough. Right? In the good old days, yeast was just simply moldy bread. What they did with the moldy bread is they threw it into a batch of dough, and the mold somehow creates a chemical reaction, so now that the bread starts leavening. Okay, so I have Seor. Now, the moldy bread by itself is not really food, although the Gemara in other contexts describes it as food. And we know on Pesach, you're not allowed to eat Seor, although most people wouldn't to begin with. But, and the Gemara in Beitza makes that point. But anyway, over here we're talking about using the Seor as a enzyme, as a way of causing leavening to a bread. And what I do is I have Seor Shechul and Seor Shel Truma. I have sourdough of chul and I have sourdough of truma, and I throw it into a batch of dough. Now I know that there's not enough in either one of the sourdoughs to create enough chemical reaction to cause a leavening of the bread. It's only with the combination of the two that we have a leavening. And now we have a yield of chametz. So this is now a classic scenario of Zev Zegorim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Achachar Naniba. Now, Rabbi Eliezer says, now he doesn't say it as we would like to say it. Sorry. He doesn't say it as we would like him to say it. Meaning, what we would have loved to have heard Rabbi Eliezer say is, it's Aser. He doesn't say that simply. He says, Acher Acheron Ani Ba. We're going to go with the last one that went in there. So stay tuned, because we're going to explain Rabbi Elazar in just a moment. And the Chachamim say it's fine, because I don't have enough of the Seor Shel Truma to affect Chimutz. I need the combination of the Seor Shel Truma and the Seor Shel Chulin. In other words, according to the Chachamim, what is this? A classic scenario of Zev Zeh Garim. And the Chachamim say, what's my position? Zev Zeh Garim is Mutter. So the Chachamim say, it's fine in this scenario. The Amar Abaye, now, good. So the Chachamim, we understand very well, but the Chachamim really, in for our purpose right now, is not helping us. We want to know, who is the Tanu who says Zev Zeh Garim is Aser? That's what we want to know. So we can leave the Chachamim out of the discussion now and put all of our attention to Rabbi Eliezer. So what did Rabbi Eliezer say? Acher acharon ani ba. That's the words of Rabbi Eliezer. V'amar Abaye. So now we need understanding of what he means. So Abaye says we're now on the top of Chazayin Amar Aleph. Lo shanu ala shekanu v'stila ketza iser. Ava lo kidem v'stila ketza iser. Aser. That's only true if I took the Isser out. But in other words, I left the Isser inside. So I have now Seor Shel Truma. Again, not enough. I supplement it with Seor Shel Chulin. Now there's enough. So then it's going to be Aser. But what Abaye is arguing is, yes, it'll be Aser, but only if I left the Seor Shel Truma inside. So now we have a scenario of Zev Zeh Garim. Alma Zev.
That's not tyrobus because it's not.
Again, tequila? Yeah, right. These are not edible things. They're acting on the dough to create the dough. Alma Zev Zeh Garim is Aser. So now we found it. Meaning this is Rabbi Elazar holds Zev Zeh Garim is Aser. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. In other words, yes, we kind of found it, but it's Rabbi Eliezer, which isn't the problem, by the way. In other words, fine, it's Rabbi Eliezer. But he didn't say it. It's only based on Abaye's interpretation, Rabbi Eliezer. And the Gemara says, and we could have given another interpretation. In other words, the Gemara asks, how do you know Abaye's right? Maybe. Meaning, can we take a much more literal interpretation of Rabbi Eliezer? All Rabbi Eliezer means is basically Acher Acher and Aniba. As Rashi explains, it's like the concept of Makeh B'Patish. Right? This is my terminology, but basically this is what Rashi says. Makeh B'Patish, what do you get from Makeh B'Patish? Meaning you put the final blow in, that's it, done. Maybe what Rabbi Eliezer means over here is, look, I'm trying to make dough. I need yeast. I need a leavening agent. So you know what I'm going to call the leavening agent? The one that banged it out. The one that finally produced this what before it's dough to now what is dough. So just simply take a look. What was the last thing that went in there? If the last thing that went there was Seor Shel Chulin, so it's fine. If the last thing that went in there was Seor Shel Truma, so then it's not fine. That could simply be the pshat behind Rabbi Eliezer. So if we're looking for the Tanu who says Zev Zeh Garim is Aser, and we want to hang our hat now on Rabbi Eliezer, I don't know, says the Gemara, if I could do that based on this brisa. So loshna katan v'silek alesa iser, loshna lo katan v'silek iser, and it wouldn't matter whether I remove the iser, I didn't remove the iser, ava bavas achas hachanam edeshari. But it could be that according to Rabbi Eliezer, if I put the two doughs in concurrently, so then maybe what Rabbi Eliezer would argue is, it's fine. It's only not going to be fine if I end off the dough with Seor Shel Truma. Okay, so the Gemara says now we are at a impasse, or not an impasse, but we don't have the Tana that we need yet. Ela Rabbi Eliezer de Atzer Shera. So the Gemara says, okay, I have another. It's a Mishnah of Avodah Zarah, not till Haman who ate him. Well, the Mishnah over here describes the following. I have an Asherah tree. Okay? Asherah tree, what are we supposed to do with it? We discussed this already a number of times. In our discussion of Isuri Hana, I burn the Asherah tree. I got to destroy it. And obviously it's Aser B'Hana. And even the ashes are going to be Aser. Anyway, not till Haman who ate him. If I took wood from the Asherah tree, Asur and Bana. The wood is Asur Bana. Okay. Hizik ben Asatanur, Chadash, Yutats. Here we go. We have a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah that says it very clearly. That if I use the Asherah wood to fuel an oven meaning, not just fuel the oven, make the oven has not been fired up for its first time. I'm firing it up with the wood of the Asherah tree, which is Asabana. So the author of this Mishnah says, break the oven. Yasha, now if it's an old oven, you just let it cool down, and then you'll just simply use it again. If I bake bread in this oven while the Asherah wood is burning in the oven, the bread is Asabana. Nisarvu ba'acheros. Now let's say that bread comes out of the oven. And this bread now is Asabana, and it gets mixed up with other bread. It would be Asur, it would be prohibited, the whole Tarovus, all mixture. The Acheros by Acheros. And let's say from this pile came one of the breads, I don't even know which one it was, and it went into another pile. So cool and Asur, and it would all be cool and Asur and Bahana. Everything would be Asabana. Now that clause of the Mishnah, we're not going to discuss it now, but it makes for an interesting discussion. Because that clause of the Mishnah makes it sound like I have like a double suffix. Meaning the bread that was also that from this oven went into a pile. And then from this pile, I randomly selected a bread and put it into another pile. The second pile is going to be Asa Bahana, even though it sounds like a double doubt. You could see Tosos on the side of the Gemara over here, second Tosos, that Rabbeinu Tam just simply takes that line right out of the Mishnah. Anyway, it's not going to be our discussion for now, but it's an important discussion. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yolich Hana Liyam HaMelech. So Rabbi Eliezer says, what you do is any benefit that you got from the Atzei Asherah, you have to take that benefit and throw it into the Yam HaMelech. Amru lo ein pidyon la'avodah zarah. And they say to Rabbi Eliezer, what are you talking about? Well, you're talking about trying to salvage and redeem the Isser Hana. You can't do that. Once something becomes Isser Hana, there's no pidyon, there's no redemption. It's not hektesh by hektesh. So hektesh makes something prohibited, but if I redeem it, if I want to extract the value of hektesh out from an item, so most of the time I could do that. But you can't do that with Isser Hana. That's absurd. So, okay. In the meantime, however, that's a Mishnah Avodah Zarah. Now, granted, by the way, that Rabbi Eliezer's position about redemption is not accepted, but the point is, however, is that here we have a Mishnah Avodah Zarah that says very clearly that if I make the oven with the Isser Hana, I have to break the oven. Why? Because the author of this Mishnah subscribes to the idea of Zeveh Zegoreim is Asur. Now, it happens to be that the author of this Mishnah is somebody, other than Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer at the very end argues. But we're going to call it, for our purposes, we're going to call it Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, because that is a name that's provided to us in this Mishnah, and Rabbi Eliezer agrees with the basic concept. His point about redemption, that point is not accepted. But his basic assertion that the Mishnah is a valid Mishnah, and that if it's a new oven, I have to break the oven. So we're just going to simply call it Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. Eimid Shamas Le Rabbi Eliezer Bavarazar Dechamiri Surah Bishari Surin Shabbatar Mishamas Le. Gemara says, good. We have a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Maybe we can make the following distinction. Look. Zeveh Zegoreim is Asur. Maybe. You know what? I'll give it to you by Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is very chamor. Right? The or one of the most serious Yisurim in the Torah. Just spoke about how one's supposed to give up their life rather than be over to Avodah Zarah. I know there are other examples as well. But, in other words, maybe that's Avodah Zarah halacha. There we're going to say Zeveh Zegoreim is Asur. But now you want to tell me Shari Surim in the Torah, we're just going to simply move forward, advance the argument that by Shari Surim we're going to say Zeveh Zegoreim is Asur? So the Gemara says, okay, you want to make that distinction? Eleim Kin Aman Tarmieh. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem. The problem is that the whole discussion this morning started with the Braisa, going back to Chavavim and Beis. The Braisa says that if I heat up a new oven with Isuri Hana, not Avodah Zarah, we're talking about the shells of Arla and Klai HaKerem, but if I heat up an oven using Avodah Zarah, if I make an oven using Klai HaKerem and Klipe Arla, so I got to break it. So look, you want to make the argument, you can make the argument. I have a brisa that needs attribution, like, let it be. Meaning, we got to assign it to somebody. We have Rabbi Eliezer. I know Rabbi Eliezer is talking about Avodah Zarah, but let's do it. Let's at least assign the previous brisa like Rabbi Eliezer. Va'od, and then the Gemara says, and oh, by the way, right, this is the Gemara's move, where it has another brisa, kind of waits till the end of the discussion to take out the brisa. Va'od ha'tanya, we also learned in the brisa, Behedja, v'chena Rabbi Eliezer, also b'choli sinur shebetorah. And oh, by the way, we have a brisa that says that Rabbi Eliezer does not make a distinction between Avodah Zarah and any other Isur Hana in the Torah. Okay. Good. Okay, that was a end of a long sentence, and just basically to put it very succinctly, the brisa that says that if I make an oven with Isur Hana, I have to break the oven, that brisa is authored by Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to the concept of Zev Zegorim is Asur. And why is it? Why is making an oven Isuri Hana Zev Zegorim? Because the next time I use the oven, I'm using A, an oven that's Asur B'Hana, B, fuel that's Moter B'Hana. Both are causing, are affecting the bread that's being baked inside or whatever I'm cooking inside. And as a result of that, it's Zev Zegorim. And Rabbi Eliezer is of the position Zev Zegorim is Asur. Right, so what the Gemara is about to point out, okay, your point is very well taken. The Gemara is going to point out is that if we were not talking about ovens, if we're talking about things that you could use immediately, right, direct usage, so then you are going to be absolutely right. The Gemara is going to assume that by ovens, I only use ovens to bake or to cook. So it's by ovens by definition are going to be Zev Zegorim. We're gonna. You'll see by the end of this discussion. We're gonna side with Zev Zegorim as Asur. Although right now, if you're following the Gemara, we have the Chachamim against Rabbi Eliezer. I mean, that's usually no brainer in terms of who we're gonna follow.
Zev Zegorim Asur, but is it only about the status of the object, or
It's a process in which I'm going to create something, and right. If you hold Zevah Zegorim as mutter, it sounds like from the Gemara, it's even alechat chiladin that it's totally okay.
The point you made before that you would have assumed Zevah Zegorim
is
Asur. I confer Zevah Zegorim is Asur. You can't, but the to transfer the object is mutter.
Right. Right. In other words, the process. Right. You could see the process being. Right.
Who says that the Torah now says that you're not allowed to do it, but once you do it.
Right. I understood. Right. You can make the distinction. It's interesting. I'm telling you. After the all said and done, the Gemara is not going to make any such distinction. Okay. Amar Abaye. Now we're going to move forward in the discussion. Amar Abaye. Tim Salam Zev Zegorim Asur. Okay. So look, if we want to subscribe to this idea of Zev Zegorim Asur, so Rabbi Hina Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so in other words, what we could simply do is just simply take Shitas Rebbe. Remember Shitas Rebbe? Beginning of this morning, Rebbe said that if I bake bread in the oven, the bread is Asur. Okay, in other words, and what we could do is we could just simply say, Rebbe Eliezer, and they're agreeing with one another. Imtim Salam is Zevet Zegorim is Mutter, but what we could also do, which is not the first time we did this morning, it's now the second time we're doing this, is that we can make a distinction. Rebbe was saying that if I bake bread in an oven, and I'm using fuel at the time, I'm using fuel, that's Asur B'Hana, I'm using Kli Be'Arla, Klai HaKerem, wood of the Asherah tree, whatever it is, if I'm fueling it with Isur Hana, so one can make the argument, Rebbe really holds Zevet Zegorim as Mutter, but in this case, basically what's happening is the heat and the fuel of that wood is now basically going right into the bread. Yeshvach eitzim bepas. Now, again, I want to reiterate, this is not a tam issue. There's no taste. I understand that smoked flavor, the delicious smoked flavor that comes from a barbecue. But that's not the issue. The issue over here is that the fuel is Asur B'Hana, and the shvach, meaning there obviously is a benefit, there's a value that's coming off of that wood, and what one could argue, which is what the Gemara is saying, Rebbe is arguing, is that that value is going from the wood into the bread. So the Gemara says, now if you're right about that Hanukkah, if I have cups and plates and jugs, meaning all earthenware, all made in an oven, where I'm fueling it with Isurei Hana, so now the Isurei Hana goes into the jug, into the plate, those jugs and plates are going to be Aser. Not because of Zevze Garem, but because they were made with fuel that's Aser Bana. And according to this Mahalach within Rebbe, that the Shvach Eitzim goes right into the object, so then these are going to be Aser Bana. And unlike the oven, because the next time I use the oven, that'll be a scenario of Zevze Garem, in the case of the plate, and the jug, and the cup, I'm using them now. I'm getting direct benefit from them right now, and therefore it's going to be prohibited. Ki pligi betana v'kedera, the whole machlokus is buy an oven and a pot. Laman darma zevezegarim aser, aser, fine. Laman darma zevezegarim mutter, shari. But if you subscribe to the zevezegarim mutter camp, so then an oven would be fine. Why? Because even though the oven's aser bana, but I'm not directly benefiting from the oven, it's oven plus the fuel that I put in. And if the next time I'm putting fuel that's mutter, it's oven that's aser, fuel that's mutter, it's zevezegarem, and if you hold zevezegarem as aser, so then the bread is going to be aser. If you hold zevezegarem as mutter, the bread I bake in the next time is going to be mutter. Fine. Igadarm, the Gemara just goes over another version of this discussion. Afilaman, darm is zevezegarem mutter. Even if I subscribe to zevezegarem is mutter, but kedera asura, but the pot is going to be aser. Why? The hakabla bishulami kamed neitan eitzin deetera. Because even by a pot, what we do is that we put food in the pot even before it goes up onto the fire. So in other words, I am directly benefiting from the pot even before we're cooking in the pot. So the pot is not a true zevezegarem. An oven is a true zevezegarem because the oven by itself, what's an oven by itself? Nothing. It's an oven plus fuel. Oven's aser, fuel's mutter. That's a classic scenario of zevezegarem. I'm Rav Yosef, I'm Rav Yudah, I'm Rav Shmuel, Tana Shei Siku B'Kli Paro L'Bikashan Shal Klai Karen. Chadash Yutas, Yashan Yutsan, Afa Boas Apas, if I bake bread inside, Rabbi Omer Apas Muteres, V'Chachamim Omer Apas Asura. Okay, so far so good. We have a statement made by Shmuel. It's Rav Yosef, quoting Rav Yudah, quoting Shmuel. A statement made by Shmuel. It's basically a reiteration of the brisa that we started off our morning with this morning. There is one very subtle difference, which is not subtle, in that if you look back at the brisa that we started off with this morning, so what were the two shitas? What if I bake bread in an oven, and the oven's being fueled by Isurei Hana? So the way the brisa said it is that Rebbe says it's aser, and the Chachamim say it's mutter. If you look now at Shmuel's statement, how does Shmuel say it? The Chachamim say it's aser, and Rebbe say it's mutter. Okay? So what Shmuel did, he switched. So Shmuel Ibcha Tani. So the Gemara notes, Shmuel is not like the Braisa that started our morning off this morning. The Gemara's response is, eh. Okay, so Shmuel had a different Braisa. Now the second approach is certainly a more interesting approach. Look, it's one of the rules that we talked about in Masechta Erevin, which is that if Rebbe is having a debate with a colleague, with one other Tana, so we'll go like Rebbe. If Rebbe's arguing with a majority, with a group of Tanayim, so then the halacha falls like the group of Tanayim. Okay, that's your general klali apsak, and we know with every klal there are exceptions, but that's your general klal. Now Shmuel felt on this issue, where I'm baking bread in the oven, the fuel right now that I'm using is the Isurei Hana, and now the Shvach Eitzim goes into the bread. Shmuel says, I know this is a machlokus between Rebbe and the Chachamim. I think, this is Shmuel's argument, that in this case Rebbe's right. I'm siding with Rebbe on this issue, even though Rebbe's a minority position. And even though normally we say, Rebbe mechaveiro velo mechaveirav, I'm going with Rebbe on this issue. And whatever, you have to ask Shmuel. You can't, I don't know. But, here's the problem, and this is going to be a little tricky. I mean, it's Pshat in the Gemara. There's no apologetics over here. But, what happens is, if I say to everybody, the Machlokes, Rebbe and the Chachamim, and I'm signing with Rebbe, So the audience will not be that inspired to be machmir like Rebbe, meaning he's a das yachid. So what I'll do, this is now the second approach of the Gemara, is I'll flip the two positions so that the chachamim will say that it's aser and Rebbe will say that it's mutter. And so now as the audience is listening, they'll hear, oh, okay, fine, the chachamim say it's aser, and they're the majority position, fine. So what I'm going to do essentially is, I know that's not the proper attribution, but I'll do that so it'll be easier to be received. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I understand. The savar asne ipcha ki heichid neikum rabbanon leisura. So I'll just flip it around. Okay. Ethical issues? Yes, I get it. Okay. Do I have a simple way of resolving the ethical issues? No. No, not at all. Right. You mean, in other words, right? He right. In other words, Shmuel doesn't accept the Zev Zegorim, but he does accept the idea of Yeshvach Hetz Mipas. Fine. Okay. Bishula Agabi Gachalim Divrei Alkol Apas Mataras. Okay. Now we're going to talk about baking the bread directly on top of coals. Now the coals, by the way, are once upon a time they were Aser, but in other words, you know how coals are made. It's wood, burnt. So the coals are just basically now charred wood that has a lot of heat to it. So we said that the bread's going to be mutter. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel v'Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav Yochanan Chanam Aloshanu al Gachalim Almamos Aval Gachalim Lochashos Asurim v'Chanam Arafilu Gachalim Lochashos. Now we're going to have a debate amongst the Amoraim in terms of, well, what kind of coals are we talking about? There are two terminologies that are used over here. There's Almamos and Lochashos. Almamos, explains Rashi, basically means they're dim. They're almost out. So in other words, the fuel is nearly expired. And whatever little heat is left, I'm using now to heat up the bread. So the and then there's lochashos. Lochashos, the word lochesh, you'll see time and again, always means like to whisper to one another. So we have other gemaras that speak about lachisha, how he whispered and to create some sort of refuah. Anyway, the imagery over here is lochashos, is that the coals are still red hot. They're almost still on fire. They're kind of like talking to one another, they're whispering to one another. In other words, lochashos over here in this context means they're still glowing coals. So, what the Amoraim are arguing that when we say that the bread is mutter, that's only if the coals are dim. Basically, fire's out. Right? In other words, it was once upon a time it was an asherah. Now it's basically, it's just burnt, it's charred. So it's fine. But if they are lochashos, but if they're still glowing, that still has the potency of the status of the asherah, which is now directly going into the bread. V'chanamar afilo gacham lochashos nami mutarim. And one is of the opinion that even if the coals are glowing, it's going to be mutter. Now, bishlam alaman damar lochshos asur mishum diyei shvach heitzim epas. Alaman damar afil lochshos mutar es pas to asur diyei shvach heitzim epas l'rebi heichim ishkach alei. The Gemara says, let's say you'll take the position that lochshos are mutter. Even if they're glowing, they're going to be mutter. Now, remember, we have the sheet of Rebbe, which we've now been discussing now for almost the entirety of today, of Yeshvach Eitzim Bepas, that basically there's a transfer of the Isser status from the wood into the bread. Now, Rebbe accepts that. Now, if you want to tell me that Omamos are Mutter, and if you even want to tell me that Lochashos are Mutter, so where is Rebbe going to fit in? Meaning, what would be the scenario in which Rebbe would tell you that there's a transfer from the wood into the bread? So Amrav Papa, I'm sorry, so Le Rebbe Heichim Ishkachalei, Amrav Papa Kishavuka Kenegdo. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you, it's very simple. Meaning, I'm burning the wood for the first time. I'm making a torch of this wood. And now I'm holding bread right over it. And now, as I'm burning the wood for the first time, so now the Shvach Eitzim is going to go into the bread. That would be Rebbe's position.
So it's not charcoal, it's sticks.
Right, it just sticks. Mechlal de Rabban and de Pliga Allah Share, Afil Keshavuka Kenegdo. Now look, that's Rabbi Shita. And now we know the Chachamim disagree. So the Gemara asks a really simple question and gives a really simple answer. So if the Chachamim disagree, so then in what way is wood Asr Bahana? Meaning, because according to the Chachamim, I can basically make a bonfire out of Atzei Asherah, and I can cook whatever I want on top of it, because the Chachamim don't subscribe to this idea of Yeshvach Eitzim Bipas. So then, in what way is wood of an Asherah going to be Asr Bahana? But it's really a simple question, and the Gemara gives a very simple answer. So El Eitzim Disur LaRabban Hechem Mishkach Alohu Amar Avame Barchama B'Shar Shifa. Well, in other words, burning wood is not the only way that I'm going to use wood. Like, right, I can build a house. I can make a bench. Right, the Gemara Shashifa is making a bench. In other words, without burning the wood, you can get benefit from the wood. So once you're benefiting from the wood, you make a bench out of it. That bench is going to be Asr Bahana. You can't sit down on the bench. Okay.
You know, I argue that in those terms it's not extinct anymore, rather than the charcoal is extinct. Right. Changes status.
Correct. Okay, by mine Rami Barchama Mirav Chista Tanashi Sigabatse Hektish Vafa Bosa Pasla Rabban Deshar Bekamaisa Mai. Okay, how about this? The Gemara says, let's take out Isuri Hana, okay, take out the Asherah, the wood of the Asherah, and substitute it with wood of Hektish. Okay, now again, according to Rabbi, what's there to talk about? Meaning the wood of the Asherah is going to go into the bread and make the bread Aser, the wood of the Hektish will as well. There's nothing to talk about. What there is to talk about is, would the Chachamim change their tune? Meaning, in the case of the Atzei Asherah, they said, the bread's fine. If I take out Atzei Asherah and I replace it with the wood of Hekdesh, yes or no? So, Amalei Apasa Surah. So, his answer was, oh, the Chachamim are going to now say that the bread is Asar. The obvious question, Uma Bein Zela Arla. Okay, what's the difference? So, Amarava Hachi Hashta Arla Betela B'Masayim Hekdesh Afila B'Elav Labato. So the Gemara starts off with a suggestion of bittul. Well, you know, Arla, there is bittul by Arla. Now it's going to get a long time to get to bittul. So we just discussed the other day, the ratio for bittul of Arla is 1 to 200. But there is bittul. Hekdesh, there is no bittul. One of those things that we discussed at the end of Avodah Zarah, and there's a lot of Mishnayos and Zvachim that speak to this idea, is that there is never bittul when it comes to Hektesh. I have an animal, for example, that's Hektesh, that gets mixed up with 1,000 other animals. No good. They all have the status now of Hektesh. So there's never bittul when it comes to Hektesh. So the Gemara says maybe that's the difference. So El Amarava, Ikashile, Hakashile, Valo, Mal, Hamasik, Cholhech, Damal, Hamasik, Nafkale, Lechulin. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you, look, I understand your basic point, but there's a technical issue. Meaning, the question's wonderful, but you forgot some basics regarding Hektesh. And that is the following. Whenever I take something which belongs to Hektesh and I use it for my own personal benefit, that's what's called Me'ila. Okay, that's an Isra in the Torah. And I have to make restitution, and I have to add 25%, and I have to bring a carbon as well. Yes, yes, and yes. And you know what happens when I'm all behektesh? The item that I use is yatza l'chula, right? One of the benefits of being moal, and there are no benefits. It's an isra in the Torah. But one of the effects of me'ila is whatever I'm using now is yatza l'chula. So here, if I'm burning wood that belongs to hektesh, you know what happens to the wood the moment I start burning it? It's yatza l'chula. So your question is wonderful, but did you forget? The wood is no longer Hektesh. So the question kind of loses its entire tracking. So the Gemara gives a super technical answer. I don't want to get too involved in this answer, but there's a way of establishing the case where it is Hektesh, but it's not subject to Me'ila, but it's still going to be Aser. And it's Atzei Shlamim. Now again, this gets us deep into the world of Kachim, and I don't want to get too deep, but basically, the Shlamim Karban is not subject to Me'il, it's not Kachay Hashem. If you understood that, great, and if not, come back about 4 years from now, when we're going to do Zvachim inside, and you'll understand, and Me'il inside, and you'll understand it better. In the meantime, however, because the Shlamim itself is not subject to Me'ilah, if I designate wood and I give it shlamim status, also it will not be subject to me'ilah. It's still a zasser, it's still a hekdesh, but it's not subject to me'ilah, so that when I use it, it will not be yotzei l'chulin.
Is it
it's, I can't tell you. Come to me afterwards. We'll discuss more of this afterwards.
You can just do that. You can take a chair and sit in a shlamim status.
Yes, yes. The answer is yes. Yeah, you could. I know it's, again.
And that's
all
because of the pidyon business that you can get.
You can earmark anything. You know, in other words, when you want to invest kedusha, you can earmark what kind of kedusha it's going to receive. Okay, again, it's a super technical answer to get out of the dilemma of, weren't you Moel? And once you're Moel, isn't it Yotze L'chulin? So the Gemara gives an example of how can not be Yotze L'chulin. So my time, lo kevin delav bar me'ila, hu lo nafke l'chulin, shlaminami kevin delav bar me'ila, ninu lo nafke l'chulin. Okay, so you gave a shlamim status, and that's why it's not Yotze L'chulin. V'chol hecha demal ha'masik nafke l'chulin, v'atanya, the Gemara says, is that always true? That once you're mole, it's yotzei lechulin. It's not always true. Calling is rafa not for mutter. Chutz me'aseh shera ve'efra hektish la olam aser. Don't we have a brisa? And the brisa says that the ashes of hektish are going to be aser. So it sounds like over here, and I said this in the beginning of this morning, that when it comes to aseh shera and the ashes of hektish, it remains aser even after it's been reduced to ashes. So the Gemara's answer, So the Gemara says, well, one example could very well be, no one lit it on fire, forest fire. It lit on its own. Meaning, Me'ila will be Yotze L'chulin, but Me'ila, there has to be a person doing the act of Me'ila. If nobody did the act of Me'ila, it just kind of burnt on its own, so then it's not Yotze L'chulin. That's one example. That's one answer. Rav Shmaya Amar Bosan Shetunin Geniza, and Rav Shmaya says, well, maybe we're talking about where it required Geniza. Meaning, the Tanya we learned, Vesamu Benachas, Vesamu Kulo, Vesamu Shalo Yifazir. Not just yesterday or 2 days ago, we talked about the Trumas Adeshin. Trumas Adeshin, even after Nasa Mitzvasa, there's still going to be a Me'ila, a Din Me'ila, on the Trumas Hadeshin. Maybe the Brice is talking about the Trumas Hadeshin. Okay. Again, that's it. Ad Kan. That is the entirety of the discussion. Zev Zegarim. Major Machlokas amongst the Tanaim. Whether it's Zev Zegarim is us or Mutter. Gemara does not take a definitive stand at the end of the day. Whether we hold it's us or Mutter. We tend to be Machmir by Zev Zegarim. The best example I could think of right now is on Pesach. You know, there's a Minog. Not to buy milk and not to buy eggs on Pesach. Right? Very familiar with that minug? The reason why is because it's Zev Zegore. Right? What? How did that happen? Because what, again, if you subscribe to this idea of Zev Zegore, how is the egg laid? So by the chicken. Chicken chametz? No. But what does the chicken eat? Chicken eats chametz. So in other words, to produce that egg, so it was chicken plus the feed, so zev zeh, which results in the minug that we don't buy eggs on Pesach. Milk as well. In other words, it's the cow plus the feed. Okay? But it's a minug. It's not a bona fide isser, right? If you run out of milk on Pesach, you speak to your local rabbi. But in other words, just giving you a practical example of where you see modern days this idea of zev zeh going. Okay. We'll have to stop over here. Okay, new topic tomorrow. Burning your chametz, tashbisu, shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow. If we need to, which I think we're going to need to, maybe in Shabbos, we'll put in a supplementary daf so that we can catch and get back up to speed. Tzeitzkam l'shalom to Rabbi Tershwal. Okay, I say baruch haba to Rabbi Tershwal coming back to the daf, and now tzeitzkam l'shalom as he embarks on his new chapter in life. So we wish him all the best.